come back, why don't you get out of your seats and, you know, just go and welcome.
Hey, g'day, Wilson. G'day, mate. Good to see you.
Okay, guys, here we go. This morning we have a special guest who's going to be sharing her story. I'm not actually sure what is going to be said, but how many here have heard of or have heard Annie Hilton, all the way from Calcutta? How many? We've just got a handful. So, okay. So, Annie, if you'd like to come up, and are you all ready for sound? We've just got to get that mute thing going. So, let me. So, is that right, Jim? Oh, yes. You speak.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
No, keep speaking, yeah. So we've just got to have a look here. No good, Jim?
Hello. Good morning.
It is on. Okay, we'll try again. Now try that.
All good?
Yeah.
That was my mistake, actually. Okay. So, Annie, we just want to say a big welcome. Let's give her a clap. And let's pray for you and then let you speak from your heart.
Okay.
Jesus, we thank you for your servants. You have your people all over the world. You have your people in all sorts of neighborhoods and on streets in strange and sometimes dark places. And we thank you for this, your daughter and her husband, Kerry, and family, who are in a place of darkness but also of light. In a place of sadness but a place of miracles. And more importantly, Lord, we thank you that you're there and you love those people. We pray for Annie now that your spirit will just calmly, gently move her as she shares her heart with us. And we pray this in your wonderful name, Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Mick. It is great to be here and thanks for having me. Got to admit, I'm a bit intimidated being here, but it is great. This afternoon I fly out to Christchurch to see my boys. So it's one of those very rare occasions where I get to see all my kids on the same day before I head back to Calcutta. So this time next week, I'm actually winging my way home. I want to introduce you a little bit to my home for the past 13 years, and I've got a small DVD clip. So I'll get that to be shown. So I'll give you just a little teeny glimpse, and then I'll share. Thanks.
খুবই কষ্ট ছিল যখন লাইনে ছিলাম দিনের পর দিন খেতে পাইনি না খেয়ে খেয়ে থেকেছি এখন বাবার আসলে সুখ দিয়েছে সুখ হয়েছে
The reality of starting a business here is not about having a great idea. It's about getting to know your community and understanding who's here. And this community is about women trapped in the sex trade. And if that's the job, the trade they're in now, then what can they do that will actually give an alternative to selling their bodies?
I
আমাদের প্রোডাকশন ভালো হলে মাল বাইরে যাবে, তবে আমাদের ফিসেট আরো বড় হবে, তাহলে আমরা মেয়েদের মুক্তি দেবো আরো।
FreeSet hires women based on their desire for freedom from the sex trade, regardless of the skills they have. They're given training for their job, as well as being made aware of basic health issues. They're also taught simple
reading. এখন লক্ষ্মী দি যদি বলে তাও পারবো, দিদিমা যদি বলে তাও আমি এখন পারবো, আমি না দেখে পারবো। ভালো লাগছে আমার খুব, আমি আনন্দ পাচ্ছি লিখে, মনে হচ্ছে আরো আরো শিখি, রাখার পর আরো আরো শিখি মনে হচ্ছে।
First step on a woman's journey to freedom. Now she is free from working in the sex trade, she must learn how to be free from the baggage of her past.
FreeSet-এ আমি কাজ করে অনেক টাকা, ওই টাকা দিয়ে আমি নিজে ম্যারেজ করেছি, এক টাকা আমার মা না, সে কোথায় পাবে?
Debt, disease, addictions, and a lack of self-confidence are common problems. They take time to work through.
আমার জন্য প্রথম হচ্ছে নতুন মেয়ে যে কাজ জানে না তাকে কাজ শেখানো, যে ভালো সেলাই জানে, কিছু মেয়ে সেলাই জানে ভালো, কিছু মেয়ে জানে না, যে ভালো সেলাই জানে তাই যে জানে না তা ভালো মেয়ে তাকে শেখাবে।
আমার খুব ভয় লাগছিল ব্যাগ করতে, ব্যাগ সেরকম পারতাম না, ক্যারিদা 10 দিনের টাইম দিয়েছিল ব্যাগের জন্য, ব্যাগ হতো না, আর কিরণ দিয়ে এসেছিল, ও আমাকে ব্যাগ শিখিয়েছিল। মেশিনে কাজ করছি, খাচ্ছি, আমার এই মায়নাতে আমার ছেলেকেও মানুষ করছি, আমার ছেলেকেও খাওয়াচ্ছি।
A job at FreeSet doesn't mean a woman suddenly finds great prosperity. It means she can earn a livable income from a job with dignity. If she has small children, they can be cared for at FreeSet's in-house nursery. For many, working at FreeSet means they can afford small but significant improvements, like electricity for a light and fan.
রং করিছি, তারপরে মিটার আনিছি, ওখানে কাজকর্ম করে মিটার আনালাম, তারপর আপনি পাখা দিয়েছেন, পাখাটা
ये लीजिए, ये आपका खाने का टाइम हो गया।
FreeSet works actively to empower women with life skills that they can use both at work and in the wider community. As they gain skills and confidence, they're given added responsibilities. For some, it involves a position of leadership, or perhaps learning to use a computer. The women are broadly involved in the life of the business and participate actively in decision-making such as the hiring of staff.
Being involved in a business that counts, that actually changes lives, as opposed to just making money. There's nothing else like it. It's the most amazing thing in the world.
আমি লাইন ছেড়ে দিয়েছি, আমি মুক্তি পেয়েছি, আমি সবকে বলতে পারবো যে আমার না, আমি খুব, আমার জীবন খুব ভালো, আমার সুস্থ জীবন, আমি ভালোভাবে মুক্তি পেয়েছি, আমি সমাজের সঙ্গে মিশতে পেরেছি, মানে মুখ উঁচু করে বাড়ি যাই, সবার সঙ্গে মিশি, কথা বলি।
আমি চাইছি ফিসের পরিবার আরো বড় হোক, আরো মেয়েরা আসুক, আরো মেয়েরা মুক্তি পাক, যারা এখনো লাইনে দাঁড়িয়ে আছে এই জায়গায় আসুক, আরো কাজ শিখুক, আমরা আরো কোম্পানি বাড়াতে চাই।
আমার খুব ভাল লাগে ফিসের কাজ।
The great thing about the FreeSet story is that you can be a part of it. When you buy a FreeSet bag or a FreeSet tee, it's not charity, it has dignity, and it puts food in their stomachs. You join them on their journey to freedom. Let freedom be. Let this street cry out.
That is home, and it's been home for 13 years. And we're committed to it because these women are amazing. But I want to share with you today from Psalm chapter 10. So if you've got your Bibles, for me it's an interesting psalm. It starts off actually full of despair, but finishes off on a note of hope and restoration. And for me, it's challenged me on my journey. So I just want to share briefly from that today. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked persecute the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes they devise. For the wicked boast of the desires of their heart, and those greedy for gain curse and renounce the Lord. In their pride, they say, God will not seek it out. All their thoughts are, there is no God. Their ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high out of their sight. And as for their foes, they scoff at them. They think in their heart, we shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, we shall not meet adversity. Their mouths are filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. And under their tongues are mischief and iniquity. They sit in ambush in villages. In hiding places, they murder the innocent. And their eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. They lurk in secret like a lion in its cave, and they lurk that they may seize the poor, and they drag them off in their net. They stoop, they crouch, and the helpless fall by their might, and they think in their heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face, and he will never see it. Rise up, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the oppressed. Why do the wicked renounce God and say in their hearts, you will not call us to account, but you do see. Indeed, you note trouble and grief, that you may take it into your hands, that the helpless may commit themselves to you, for you have been the helper of the orphan. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoers. Seek out their wickedness until you find none. The Lord is King forever and ever, and the nations shall perish from this land. O Lord, you will hear the desire of the meek, and you will strengthen their heart, and you will incline your ear to do justice for the orphan and the oppressed, so that those from earth may terrify no more. Why did I choose this psalm? Because for me, I have come to love and cherish these amazing women and young girls who have had not the choices in their life that I have had. And for them, it is a psalm that I can share with them and know that it's a cry for deliverance. It's a psalm for them. It's a psalm of hope and reassurance. Because God does see. And he hears the cries of the poor and the oppressed. And he will do justice so that they will no longer be terrified. Some of the girls and women that I love have been abused on a daily basis. They've been raped, they've been sold and trafficked into the sex trade. And some have even been murdered. They are the victims. They're not the evil ones. And I believe in a God who sees them and has heard their cries. And I want them to know how much he loves them. If I know how much God loves me, I have had such a privileged background. I have known from my infancy how much God loves me. But they haven't. They haven't heard that message. If you are a girl child, you are not valued. If your family is so poor that when they have their curry and there might be a piece of chicken and a piece of potato, your brothers will get the meat and you as a girl child will just get the potato. You are told from infancy that you're not valued. If there's an opportunity for school, then it's the boys that will get the first choice, not the girl. And I went to this country 13 years ago with my four kids and my husband, not knowing what on earth was in store. And my first walk through that lane that you saw on the video, my heart was pumping. And I was going, God, what on earth have you brought me here for? How do I, as a white educated woman, ever communicate with these girls? How much you love them. And I felt like a fish out of water. I have two daughters. And we landed up in a red light district. That certainly wasn't on the agenda when we signed up for Transcend. But God has a sense of humor. And he takes us to crazy places so that I can share and get the opportunity to tell them how much they are loved. Not in the usual sense that they are seeing day after day of abuse, of beatings, of murder in their neighborhood, but a message of hope and love and transformation. Because you see, I know those words in John 3:16, they mean so much to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his son for me. And I truly believe that this God loves the whole world, not just New Zealand. He loves those women who are trapped. And they're not there because of choice. They haven't chosen that path. Things have happened to them that have led them down that road where they are trapped and they are oppressed. They are the victims. They are not the evil ones. It's a month or so just after Christmas, and I had the great joy of being here for Christmas. How fun to be in Kiwiland for Christmas. It's awesome. But as I reflect on the Christmas story, it's powerful. The story that God, who created the earth, when he chose to send his beloved son, he didn't send him into a Rajbari, a palace. He sent him into a stable. Have you ever been in a stable? They're filthy places. They stink. They're not nice and sanitized and clean. I had the privilege of having all four of my children in lovely hospitals. But outside my door, the road is pretty dirty and it's pretty awful and it's used often as a toilet. And you have to look where you're walking because, you know, you don't want to step and stuff. And when I tell the women of a God who loves them so much that when he had the whole earth that he could send his son to, he sent it, to a young girl who wasn't married. So when I'm telling them about Mary, the mother of Jesus, I know those words in Luke where she gives glory to God. But I bet you there were times when she was scared and she was frightened. And when Joseph came to break off the engagement, in the culture of India, that is shameful. That is incredible shame. And she must have felt that. So I'm not pointing them to a God who's up there. I'm pointing them to a God who really cares, who they can understand and can relate to it. And that's what I love about the gospel. You don't need to whitewash it. You don't need to simplify it. You just tell it as it is. It's powerful enough. That gospel story will stand on its own, and you don't need to be ashamed. And when I tell the women about the Easter story and the cross, we have a giant cross in our courtyard, a rugged old thing that was made out of an old door jamb in the building that we were renovating. And point them to the story of the cross, about God loves you. This is what he did. He sent his only son, and he was nailed on a cross. And as Easter comes up and you're telling stories, the women that I'm sharing with, they've been sold, many of them, just like Jesus was with Judas. He understands what it's like to be betrayed by a best friend and a family friend. The power of the story. That God in his might would send his only son to experience some of the things that my girls have experienced. Things that I never will, and I just thank God for that. But it puts an awful heavy burden on my shoulder to share that story with them. Because they haven't had a lot of love in their life. And they need to hear how much God loves them and cares for them. Last week I had two lovely days with my in-laws. My own parents have passed away now. And it was so lovely for me just to spend these 2 days. And sitting with Mum, whose mind is, she's got a little bit of short-term memory loss. And just as she was sharing and saying how wonderful it is that she knows how much God loves her. And I was saying, Mum, you know, that's what I want to tell the women that I come in touch with. And she said, well, why don't they know that they're not loved? When they haven't had it from infancy. When a girl child is the added extra, the expense, another mouth to feed. It hurts. And you get that from infancy. And you get to about 9 or 10 or 11. And it's time for an arranged marriage. I mean, we won't even think of that here in New Zealand. But I've had friends who were married off, one beautiful young lady, Mamoni, married off from a village. Married at 11 to an older man who after about 4 years, you know, and the marriage isn't legal because nothing is ever signed. It's just in the Hindu culture you walk around a flame. Cast off, and she had a little baby. At 15 she entered the sex trade because she knew she didn't know any other thing to do and she needed to feed her baby. We've been to her village and her grandfather in tears said to Kerry, that didn't happen to my daughter, did it? She didn't get sold off, did she? And Kerry said, yes. The dear grandfather had no idea that when she got married off at 11, that her journey was to end up in a brothel in Calcutta. Now, 2 kids later, at about 20, 21, she struggles with health issues. But we're there for her, and we want to see her life transformed. And for her to know how much God loves her. You see, this psalm is so strong. And the words where, you know, in verses 7 and 8, it talks about their mouths full of cursing and deceit. We have no clues, but people get bought and sold on a daily basis. It's big money. And it's usually little girls. They're just another mouth to feed, another burden to get rid of. And as soon as you can get them married off, the better it is. I want to tell you Kundula's story. Kundula was in that DVD, and she's the one who says, I can lift my head up now. I have no shame. And I'm just, this woman is such an amazing, amazing lady. At 13, her dad said to her, I think it's time you got married off. So she'd seen a young guy down the road, you know, in the same village. She thought he was pretty cool. Yeah, maybe. So sort of mentioned his name to dad, and she assumed that was who she was going to marry. On her wedding day, with a sari over her face, as is the custom, she pulled it back to discover that her father has married her off to an older man. As is the custom, she moved into the home. And about a few months into the marriage, mother-in-law, darling mother-in-law, because that's what you do, you move into the husband's family, mother-in-law and all. And mother-in-law said, I need you to go out to the little plot of land out the back. She went off. Now the plot of land where they grew a few things, was probably about as big as the stage. So not a huge quarter acre section even, or a farm, but to them that was land where they could grow stuff. She went to the land and she saw some young guys hanging around and thought, this is a bit odd. You know, some of the young guys from the village, I mean, she's 13, she knew them. And they said to her, your mother-in-law has sold you to us for the day. She was gang raped. When she got back, she obviously didn't want to go to her mother-in-law's place, her own home. So she ran to her uncle, her mama, which is mother's brother, and hid at his place. And then what did the uncle do? Hey, I'm going to take you on a drive. Let's get out of here. Let's hop on a bus. Uncle sold her into a brothel in Sonogachi just down the road from Freeset. No choice of her own. This lady, what an amazing testimony she has. She's been with us now since the beginning of Freeset. And she put her hand up very early on and said, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow him. This woman, for years, has sent money back to the village for her family. Now, firstly, if my father had married me off to someone I didn't love or didn't even know, no way I'd be sending money back for the family. But she has faithfully for years, because she has siblings. And she was the oldest daughter in the family. And in a sense, she was sacrificed for her sister's sakes. What an amazing woman of faith. I couldn't do that. But she has experienced grace, and she has been showing that grace and forgiveness to her own family. She's an advocate of change. She's an advocate of transformation. We've been living and breathing and walking the streets of Sonogachi for 13 years. And so many girls that we have talked to there have ended up in the trade, A, simply because your mother, your grandmother, maybe even your great-grandmother was in the trade. And so the cycle has never been broken. They see no other way out. My mother did it, I'm groomed for that. Because Indian society looks down on them and treats them as outcasts and will have nothing to do with them. So you get no chance of even applying for another job if there's any hint that you are from that environment. Secondly, you could end up in the trade simply like Kundula did because of family. Being the oldest daughter, the father feeling that he was struggling to feed his own family, so married his daughter off. See, in India, part of the culture is the arranged marriage, and you're supposed to have a dowry. Now, Delhi government, the central government has banned dowries, but it hasn't trickled down to the village level. And if you're a struggling farmer and you're trying to provide for your family and someone comes along and says, hey, instead of paying me a dowry to arrange a marriage for your daughter, I'll actually give you something for your daughter and I'll arrange a marriage for her. Vulnerable families fall into that deceit and that oppression, and actually don't often realize that that's where their daughters are ending up. Another way of ending up in the sex trade. They do, these verses in the Psalms where they sit in ambush in the village and they lurk and they prey on the innocent and those who are ill-educated. And in hiding places, they murder the innocent. My daughter Rachel is sitting here with me. And Purnima was one of our ladies. that we'd come to know in the community. She actually hadn't started work at FreeSet. She'd come to a Christmas program or two. She was an Indian Barbie doll. In my mind, when I think of Purnima, she was just drop-dead gorgeous, tiny, petite, beautiful young lady. And she would stand at the edge of the main road, just out from our place. And I think Rachel, a day or two before Purnima was murdered, had seen her. And it broke our hearts when we heard that this young lady was found murdered in a brothel room. And unfortunately, it happens far too often. Every year, we hear of it happening. The wicked. And I want us to rise up and say, enough is enough. Oh God, rise up, oh Lord. Lift up your hand. And he hasn't forgotten the oppressed. And when I mentioned about my darling mother-in-law, who said about how much she feels loved by God, and I said to her, Mum, we need to be there because we right now need to be the voice. Because these girls haven't got a voice in society. And who will tell them? Who will tell them about Jesus? The Son of God who gave up his own life for them. And right now, that's where we're meant to be. We're meant to be there, to walk those streets, to open our homes and our hearts so that they hear that message. Rise up, O Lord. Break the arm of the wicked and put a stop to the buying and selling of humans. Put a stop to girls having to sell their bodies because they have no choice. And as Christians here, we need to understand that those trapped in this trade, they're not the victims. And we need to be their voice. And we need to be their answer. Because human trafficking is modern day slavery. 27 million victims, the United Nations thinks. It's a $34 million industry. Kundula, this amazing lady, full of grace and transformation. She is an example of change. And she gives me encouragement because she has such a heart and a passion for girls not to be bought and sold. She came to Kerry a couple of years ago and she said, it's time. We need to open a FreeSet up at the village. She said, I'm sick of hearing of more of girls who are ending up in the trade. Kerry began to make visits to her village and has met with some of the elders. And Kundula has recently inherited a little plot of land. It's got a broken down building on it, two rooms, thatched roof, mud walls. And she said to Kerry, I don't have much. Can you do something with this? Can you start something in this little place for girls in my village? So we are taking on the challenge, and when I go back, Kerry and I will be spending less and less time in Calcutta as we begin to dream and plan for the next however long so that we can share this message of love. That God loves the world so much. So we are going to move up into one of these villages, an area called Mishirabad, which isn't very big, 50 square k by about 10 k, with quite a few villages, and begin to plan and dream and how can we affect another generation. How can we be the ambulance at the top of the cliff instead of the ambulance at the bottom? FreeSet Calcutta will continue to grow and multiply there, but it's time that we start working at the prevention end of things. We've got to put a stop to the selling of humans. And we don't quite know what it's all going to look like or how it's going to be, but that's our plan and our dream. We've got some land up there. We hope to encourage others to come and join so that we can fight this together. I love the words here. Rise up, O Lord, lift up your hand. In verses 17 and 18, the words of hope. O Lord, that you will hear the desire of the meek, and you will strengthen their heart, and you will incline your ear to do justice for the orphan and the oppressed, so that those from earth may strike terror no more. People here as well need to hear those words of hope, and may you and I, as his followers, be the voice for the voiceless. May we be his hands of comfort, his helpers of the orphans, his advocates of justice for the oppressed. And if we believe that Jesus came to bring good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, and freedom for the oppressed, then as his followers, we must do the same. If this was Jesus' mission on earth, those famous verses in Luke 4, if that was his mission on earth, to bring good news to the poor, then it must be the mission of all of us who claim to follow him. The good news is born out of God's love for us and ours in response to him. That love, when demonstrated to the world through acts of kindness, compassion, and justice, is revolutionary. And when we become the agents of it, like Kundula, we make credible the message of a Savior who transforms women and men for eternity. God wants to use and see the authenticity of our faith. He wants to see that put into action. So may his love pour out through us. May we, the church, the followers of Jesus, may we be his answer for the poor and the oppressed wherever they are, here in New Zealand too, that the words of this psalm can be heard by all victims. Because you, O Lord, do hear their cries. You encourage them using people like us. You defend the fatherless and the oppressed, but it needs us to rise up on their behalf so that man who is of earth may terrify no more. Can I read a prayer of blessing? It's called the blessing of discomfort, so you may not like it, but it is a powerful blessing. May God bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths and superficial relationships, so that we may live deep within our hearts. May God bless us with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that we may work for justice and peace. May God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. And may God bless us with enough foolishness to believe we can make a difference in this world, so that we can do what others claim cannot be done. And may the blessing of God, who creates, redeems, and sanctifies, be upon you all and all you love and pray for this day and evermore. And may, O God, your kingdom come through us. May we each go from this place as his words, his voice for those who need his love, his hands of comfort, through acts of kindness and compassion, as Dave said, so that others may know about a God who loves them. And may those words of John 3:16 ring ever true. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son, his only Son. And we need never be ashamed of the gospel. It is powerful. It is a message that people are dying to hear. Thank you.